Okay, last item, PCR 15719, Net Motion Mobility.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. I would like to respectfully withdraw this at this time.
At the request of the sponsor, looking for a motion to withdraw.
Motion to withdraw.
Seconded.
We have a motion to withdraw. We have a second.
So we got to do unfavorable actions.
Okay.
Motion to withdraw.
Seconded.
We have a motion to withdraw. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Finance Committee is closed at 7:23.
Is there a Kristen Miller here or someone on her behalf? Kristen Miller? Going once. Kristen Miller? Last call. Kristen Miller, are you here or someone on your behalf? Kristen Miller?
We have a few subcommittees left to go through, but I know there's people here that wanted to talk about a project, so I didn't want to keep you here late. So the council has agreed to open up the council meeting to allow you to speak first, and then we'll go back into our subcommittees to get recommendations on other projects. I do think that we do need a recommendation, though, to bring it to the floor. So I think Public Properties just has to open up and recommend public hearing. Councilman Ricks, Councilman Cawley, and Councilman McElroy.
City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 7:26 p.m. We have two items. We are meeting at this time for the purpose of moving one item to the floor. We'll just do these two items, I think, very briefly so that we can move on as the Council President recommends. First item. PCO 16-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, 2574 West Shore Road, Carbonato Group, LLC, petitioner. Councilwoman Travis. Do I hear a motion for public hearing based on Councilwoman Travis's recommendation?
We're committee.
I make a motion for a public hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.
And before we close out this committee meeting, we have our last item, PCR 146-19, resolution to remove a deed restriction. Councilman Lattiser. Sponsor requests favorable action. Do we have a motion?
It's a
I make a motion for favorable action.
Recommended public hearing, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Yep. I don't believe this is a public hearing.
Just the committee.
Just the committee, that's correct. That's my understanding. So I can be extremely brief. I know that there's a long agenda this evening. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi, representing the applicant, Michael Capuano. The request for you tonight is to remove a deed restriction that was placed some 41 or 42 years ago for a piece of property the city no longer owns. This has been part of a long and ongoing process with the city planning department and the city solicitor. There was a restriction that there could be no structure built on this particular property. We're asking that this restriction be removed, even though the city doesn't own the property any longer. We have offered, and the city has accepted through the solicitor, a title policy. We don't believe that there's any validity to this restriction any longer, because the company that held the restriction has been revoked for over 30 years. And the city sold this property in 1977. But out of abundance of caution, we think a legislative action would be the proper way to go. We have offered to provide the city a title insurance policy, the sum of $75,000, if some were to come forward as well. We also have a letter of no objection from the city planning director, Mr. Billy DePasquale. Your action tonight is solely and strictly to remove this restriction. The property would then, if it were to be built, which is the ultimate goal, would still have to go through the normal and regular process of planning and zoning. There is one additional point I'd like to add. Part of this property was abandoned, and the planning director, I want to be fair to his intent, specifically stated in his letter that he would not support any structure on the abandoned part of the parcel. And it is our clear intention, as I state here tonight, on behalf of my client, that we would abide by that restriction and we would not construct anything in the abandoned portion of that lot. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know Councillor Harrington has also issued a memo and prepared something on that. We have reviewed that and we are in total agreement. Be happy to answer any questions. If not, that concludes my presentation on this very brief matter.
Any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Corley.
Mr. Shikachi, are you saying that there will be no building on the abandoned portion, but that it might be part of the lot, whether it is...
That is correct.
Thank you.
And thank you for pointing that out. We had received copies of the planning director's recommendations as well. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Scotch, for coming before us this evening. I just want, for everyone's benefit, to know that this has been something that has been being worked on for quite a lengthy period of time. It's nothing that anyone just... said, okay, this is, you know, a good thing, let's go. This is in Ward 5, that's my ward, obviously. And right now, this property isn't doing anything for anyone. It's not generating any revenue. It's requiring some maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. So I, for one, I agree with this request. I think it's a good request. It's good for the taxpayers. It's good for the neighborhood. I would add that I've also received communication from numerous residents that live around this particular property, voicing no objection to this taking place or the building of a single-family home. So it's something that I'm requesting, respectfully requesting favorable action on this. It's good for the city. It's good for the neighborhood. It's going to generate certainly much needed revenue that we all know we need. I will have an amendment to this if you would like me to read it in the record now, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman.
He's going to, do you want John to read it into the record, or he's got it? You can request the committee motion and read it.
I'm sorry, make a motion for what?
Amendment.
Make a motion for an amendment to PCR 14619.
Let's see if... let's see, right, we have a request for the amendment, if one of the members of the committee would like to make such motion.
No, I've got to read the resolution in, the amendment. So I would also add that this was something that was approved by our council solicitor, John Harrington, after thorough research on his part. The amendment is going to read at the end of line three, it's going to add right after here two. And the owner of said parcel of land shall provide a title insurance policy insuring the city in the amount of $75,000 with no exceptions in Schedule B of the title policy. And this would afford the city protection from any crazy whatever.
Claims.
That's my amendment, Mr. Chair.
And for the record, we have no objection to that amendment.
Thank you. Do we have a second on that amendment?
I move acceptance of the amendment.
I will second.
Let's see, do we have any further discussion by members of the committee or of the council as to the amendment? Any? Let's see. I believe we would need the public comment on the amendment. John?
No.
As part of the committee.
Yes. Any public comment on the amendment, not on as separate from comment on the overall item, the removal of the deed restriction? Hearing none, we can have a vote on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving to the substance. Any further discussion by members of the committee or the council?
I just wanted to say that I did receive a packet of material, I believe at the end of last week, which described the background, and I did go through it over the weekend, and I wanted everyone to know that, as well as the information that's been provided within the
any comment from the public as to this removal, proposed removal of a deed restriction? Hearing none, all in favor?
I would move that we give a favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs closes at 7:37 p.m.
The council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Here.
Mr. Corley.
Here.
Mr. Hunt.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
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 If we could have a salute to the flag, and if Councilman McAllister could lead us in the salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Thank you. As you will recall, we just made an announcement that we still have not finished the subcommittee meetings, but we do have a public hearing and the stenographer is present, so we're breaking away from the subcommittee meetings to open up the meeting on the first item on the agenda, which is advertised for public hearing, which is PCO 1619, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, 2574 West Shore Road, Capionato Group, LLC. And it's for a public hearing committee report land use. You recommending public hearing? You recommending public hearing?
Committee recommends public hearing.
Okay, for action, Councilwoman Travis, if you could make a motion to open the public hearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Public hearing on PCO 1619, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, 2574 West Shore Road, Capionato Group, LLC petitioner. Is there anybody here to speak on behalf of the petitioner?
Good evening, Attorney Karen Browning. On behalf of the applicant, Carpinato Properties. This is a zone change petition for property at 2574 West Shore Road. The property is currently zoned GB A10 and A40. The petitioner requests a zone change to the rear portion of the property to open space, along with certain other conditions. The property received master plan approval on September 11th. For some upgrades. This is a former Benny's location that the applicant is seeking to redevelop. With me tonight is Kelly Coates, Carpinato Properties, Joseph Lombardo, our planning expert, Bob Clinton from VHB, our traffic expert, one of the conditions that was discussed at the master plan hearing was that the access to the rear portion of the property to Spring Grove Avenue would be opened. That is part of this zone change. However, if the applicant does obtain approval from DOT for the light that's proposed at West Shore Road at the main entrance, that access would go away. That DOT approval is pending. DOT moves at its own pace. We don't expect to have an answer from DOT until at least end of this year, beginning of next. That said, we would not be able to go forward to the next stage of preliminary plan hearing until we have that approval. At this time, I will turn it over to Kelly Coates to give you a brief introduction to the project.
I saw many of you at the ribbon cutting for the new Ocean State job lot on Warwick Avenue. So somebody said, what's different? That building is ADA compliant. It's building code compliant. It is fire code compliant. It's compliant. And sales are through the roof, by the way, since they've moved. Same tenant, same street, blocks away, and they have explosive growth. They're doing great. It's a great Rhode Island company. They support lots of Rhode Island adventures. And so that's the same story here. So with Dave's, we'll invest north of $11 million. We'll have no tax treaty. We'll hire lots of people, all Rhode Islanders, for jobs here. And it's a great Rhode Island company, a great one. It's not a good company. It's a great company. And so with my neighbors, they have one great objection: any trucks using that street that was used by Star Market for many years. Dave's is part of its, Benny's is part of its agreement to put in the Taco Bell, said they wouldn't use that. But Dave's feels that without a signal, they need it, and that's a condition of their lease. So we're requesting that the council remove that restriction, provided I cannot get a signal. But let me give the update on the signal. We've met and reviewed the plans on many occasions with RIDOT. RIDOT officials have assured us that a signal will be approved at the location. It then has to go to the State Traffic Commission. They never approve a full set of plans for traffic, and the State Traffic Commission doesn't give it. They're political appointees that rely upon RIDOT. We'll have to connect those two signals. The signal at the intersection of Sandy Lane, Strawberry, the World, and West Shore Road needs to be optimized. When that's optimized and speaks directly with our signal, they speak at the same time. The boss is not the Dave's development. The boss is West Shore Road, so that you keep people going there. Sometimes people will have to wait to get out, but it's called platooning, and if you do it right, and so RIDOT will make sure it's done right with us, and we have VHB, their number one engineer is our engineer, and they'll get this and we'll get over the finish line. So when the building gets done, it'll be fire code compliant. It'll be ADA. Right now, if you go across the street to that store, the very first Benny's, you look at it, the parking lot's like this, right? You can't get in and out. The only way to get in and out is with an officer. And so we'll have a traffic signal, we'll have controlled access, we'll have proper parking, will be fully approved with the latest standards by RIDEM, CRMC, the City of Warwick. So this is an early step in the process before we can get all the permit for the buildings out front and for the change in the parking lot. We've got to get RIDEM, CRMC, and the City of Warwick to sign off. So there'll still be at least one more public hearing on the project. Well, if you grant me first passage, that'd be second passage, and then a planning board hearing at least. Sometimes planning board does formal is a hearing. We hope they don't. So I've got lots of engineers. They're going to tell you that. I've got a civil engineer. I've got Joe Lombardo. He'll tell you it's consistent with the comprehensive plan. I've got a representative from Dave. We're all here. We would ask that all the reports be included as part of the record, and that all the testimony from the planning board be included as part of the record. If we want to hear from them, we will. For the neighbors, it's one main issue. They don't want trucks going in their neighborhood, and I don't blame them. And my track record is pretty good with you. Some of you were on the planning board, were on the city council 100 years ago at the Crown Plaza when I said we'd get that intersection redone, if you remember. The intersection in front of 5 and 113, right? You remember you had to go left to go right? Remember at the intersection, you couldn't take a left? Remember that? When you went down 113, you couldn't take a left onto onto 5. Some of you have been around long enough that you remember. I was at that hearing. I promised you we'd get that signal done. We did the design. We did some of the purchasing of property to enable it to happen. And it happened. And so I'm telling you the same thing at the entrance to this. So I will not let you down. I live in Warwick. It's my city. We'll get it. RIDOT has given us every assurance. And the neighbors won't have trucks in their neighborhood. But in order for me to have my lease signed, in order effective, I have to have this approval. And so we met with the neighbors. We heard their concern. They're concerned about that trucks going on that street. I don't want to disappoint the neighbors. We have to have final RIDOT approval in whatever form they give it before we can come back for preliminary. And unless anybody has questions, my team's over here, but they won't come and make presentations.
Say, council members have any questions? Councilman Corley.
Kelly, isn't there a traffic light already at the intersection where Sandy Lane and West Shore Road meet? I know there is a light there.
Yes, sir, there is.
Okay. Then what type of a light are you asking for that's different than the light that is there?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go over here.
Yes.
Okay. So here is the existing light right here. My neighbors can't see, but I think they have it memorized. So here is the existing light. If you look in your book, you'll see this plan. Here is the existing light, and this is right here. The new light will be right here, and that's opposite the entrance to TD Bank. So the new light will be here. They'll function effectively as one light, green at the same time, red at the same time. But this signal, which is all old technology, its timer, all of that, they will have to be interconnected. And this will have to be updated.
Okay, I'm a little confused. Let me come up there and look. The current light is going to stay in its current position?
Yes, sir.
And where is that exactly?
Right here.
Okay, and where's the second light going to go?
Right.
Okay, I misread.
Right on West Shore to the west of this.
I understand what you're saying. I thought the depiction of the light was...
Right here. Okay. I misspoke.
Okay.
I looked upside down. Freeborn. It's not opposite TD. It's opposite the...
Freeborn Street.
The... used to be Rite Aid, whatever it's called.
Used to be is a good enough description for most Rhode Islanders.
It's down here, around the corner, right here.
Okay,
thank you. And then this is limited to in only. So... We are consolidating entrances, eliminating access points, limiting people being able to take a left out. In addition, we're adding right over here, Mr. Council President, right here, between the Dollar General and the nail place and the auto parts store, we have an access that comes in here to a new road that goes here. So for people wanting to come here, they can take a free right and go in. Also, these people... They don't have to go back out to the, get a left, you know, the guard, the policeman in the street to get out. They can now go back here, go to our light, and come out and go out that way.
Is there any other questions? Councilman Travis.
Yes. The main thing is the new light, of course. And I know you're working very hard. We've been talking to the DOT, and hopefully everybody's listened. But my concern, again, is with the neighbors, with the Spring Grove. And I see that we had some sort of an amendment that might be coming up. Did you want to address that? Because I have it here, and it makes sense for Spring Grove.
Yes, thank you. On paragraph 2, page 2, paragraph 2 of the proposed ordinance. It states that all truck delivery routes shall be limited to the major arterial roadway, West Shore Road, with Spring Grove Avenue limited to local access. After the words local access, we propose to add of cars, motorcycles, and similar non-commercially registered vehicles only. The purpose of that change is to be clear that local access is not just pedestrians at this time. The applicant is proposing cars, motorcycles, and similar non-commercial vehicles at this time for this ordinance.
Okay. I saw that, and I just wanted to put that on the record.
Councilman Lattisaw.
So, hearing that, with the non-commercial vehicles, there are a significant amount of people who have a pickup truck as their primary vehicle. How would that be affected? Because they're registered with commercial plates.
The language is not focused on the registration. It's focused on the type and size of vehicle, meaning no delivery trucks to the facility. No Dave's drop-offs, pickups through Spring Grove.
So it's going to be restricted to a certain GVW? Is that it?
More of, I think, the use. So no trucks that are dropping off goods to the stores.
Okay. The other question I have is, do I understand it correctly that the current light that is there now near Sandy Lane and West Shore, that's going to remain? Mm-hmm. And then about 100 feet up the road is going to be another traffic light? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Mr. Council President, is it all right if I approach the plan to him? So this is the location of the current light right here at Sandy Lane. Here's the location of the new. That location of the new is approximately 300, 400 feet. It's just on the side of Taco Bell. So that'll channelize all lefts out of the plaza here.
So within about a 300-foot area, we're going to have two traffic lights.
300 to 400 feet, yep. Yep. It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. However, what is perfect is getting the police officer off the street there in front of the existing Dave's. Now, that's perfect, getting that stop. So that now there won't be a stop there, and getting all of this retail the access to take a left out at a light.
Okay.
So, and then both lights speak to each other. Right now, the signals is dilapidated. Getting Rhode Island Department of Transportation with their challenged budget, getting them to spend money in Warwick is difficult. And so this way they don't have to. We spend the money, and when they have us to spend, you know, they get the better equipment, they get the best. And so that signal will function now for the next 10, 15 years properly.
So, Kelly, when you say they're going to be calibrated to work together, does that mean they're both going to turn red at the same time and green at the same time, or?
Yes, sir. So the key is called platooning. It's when you get the car, and if you drive not like a criminal, if you drive normal 32 and a half miles an hour, you don't hit the signals and you can keep on going down the street. So it's called platooning the street. It makes the street the boss and the side streets not. So if you keep that going, then you get your traffic flowing, and that's what's going to happen here. So right now, all the drainage flows right into the wetlands, untreated. We will then have all proper treatment on the drainage. Right now, they're building. For elderly, it's difficult to get into it. The new one will be done proper. Right now, to get in, if you don't go to time on a police officer, you can't get left in, you can't get left out. That'll be solved. But it doesn't solve it for the Dave store alone. It's for all these other uses that are there. And then for my neighbors, so we've agreed to limit access when we receive that approval from RIDOT. The access will be limited only to fire station. So we'll put up whatever the fire department wants us. It'll have a crash bar. It'll have a, you know, the comm that communicates with it, whatever it is they require, and that's the only access it'll be. But we will have a sidewalk pedestrian access. We actually have neighbors that want to have access there. So we'll have sidewalk and have sidewalk access in, a wide sidewalk in.
Councilman Sinapi.
I actually grew up right on Spring Grove, and because of where my office is, we regularly go to that exact plaza whether it be for food or otherwise. And right now it is actually dangerous to take a left out without a light. So getting one there would be very important. Plus, having lived there, I regret not living there anymore because I would have very much liked to be able to walk to get my groceries just a couple hundred feet. That being said, I do think having the light is vital for the neighborhood, given the alternative, which you've already spoken of, you're well aware.
So this Dave's will be the latest Dave's within their chain, the highest tech Dave's within their chain, the best looking Dave's within their chain, a great amenity for the neighborhood. That increases property values in the neighborhood, not just because we're spending all the money for ourselves as a plaza, but it helps raise the value of our property. Now, clearly, it's none of us want to have the trucks go through the neighborhood. I don't get any benefit through that. So we've already agreed this vote, which we're asking, is not to have any Dave's delivery trucks go into the property. Our vote is only to allow vehicular access in until we get a signal. So the signal should be finalized and permitted sometime in the late this year, early next year. And then the construction will be finished. We have to redo the other signal. Construction will be finished sometime late summer, early fall of next year.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Okay, is there anyone else here to speak on behalf of the development? Anybody else here to speak on behalf of the development? Anybody else here to speak on behalf of the development? If not, we'll move to if there are any people here that would like to speak against the development, you would come to the mic. Any people here? Yes.
I just have a question. I want to talk about 2 o'clock.
You have to state your name for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So let's talk about 2 o'clock for a minute. So since I've lived in that area, I no longer. I live down off of Long Street, but I've lived in that area. My business was right there at the next plaza after Salk's. And at 2 o'clock, everybody realizes what happens at 2 o'clock in that area, right? Warwick Vets gets out of school. And without this additional traffic for 18-wheelers and delivery trucks, it's 20 minutes from Burger King to Oakland Beach Avenue. It's 20 minutes. I've made the trip 7,000 times when my business was on that corner for 30 years. So as a business owner, a former business owner that was a block away, I would be saying to myself, well, how is this going to affect my business? Because traffic is going to be at a standstill. It already is at a standstill. Mr. Marola, Mr. Lattice, you guys are into boating. You know what it's like to try to get to a marina in that end of town on West Shore Road. It's impossible, right? So what's going to happen when you add this extra traffic light and being in construction? I can tell you that's going to create havoc in that neighborhood for everyone. Notwithstanding the fact that it's going to create at 2 o'clock a hazard for the children, because you're going to have increased stop and go traffic, you're going to have aggravated drivers that want to get to where they're going, and I think east of the former Benny's location, you're going to have aggravated business owners that are now losing business because of the traffic ensnarlment that's going to take place. So I would like to know, has anybody done any type of studies as to the impact between 2 and 3 o'clock when school gets out? And if there has not been any impact studies done at that particular time, then there should be. And the reason there should be is because the most precious members of the city of Warwick are walking the streets between 2 and 3 o'clock, our children. And those residents of the city of Warwick are going to be impacted. Now, granted, those kids are not worried about whether or not their values of their property are going to go up or down. But rest assured, their parents are worried about if they're going to be able to cross the street safely enough with 18-wheelers going by. So I'm not saying that I'm against this development, but I'm saying that clearly there are issues that residents and parents and students and teachers and other business owners are concerned about, but may not necessarily be here tonight, because as you know, it takes a big commitment to be here. So I would respectfully request that until such time as you have a specific study that protects the children crossing the streets, as you know, there's a lot of crosswalks in that area. Until such time that you have a traffic study of during that time limit, how many vehicles pass that area, how many vehicles are obstructed because of children crossing the streets at that area, at those local, you have a couple local restaurants, you have a couple of local convenience stores that the kids are always hanging out at. And if I lived there, rest assured, I would make a big stink as to, I want to know exactly what the impact would be between 2 and 3 o'clock when my child is walking across the street. And I would ask that everybody in this council be in full support to protect the children and ask for that study, because in the absence of asking for that study, you're ignoring the safety of the children. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody here else here to speak against the development?
Hi.
Just introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Maureen McNamara.
And you can pull that down.
Thank you. Okay. Hi, I'm Maureen McNamara from Spring Grove Avenue. It's nice to finally put some faces to the names. I know I've reached out to many of you about our concerns from the neighborhood. Our biggest concern is the children and the walkability of that street. Does anybody need a copy of the packet that didn't get it that I sent out? Does anybody need a copy of the packet that I sent out? Aboriginals. As far as walkability in our neighborhood, I walk every morning with my dog, and there are no crosswalks. There's a crosswalk down by Citizens Bank over there at that intersection. The next one is down in front of the school. Opening the access to Spring Grove Avenue is beyond comprehension to the neighborhood right now. You're looking at just dumping traffic into a dead-end street. And as the gentleman before me mentioned, yeah, you're going to see a lot of aggravated drivers with or without the light. And our feeling, too, is if Carpionato and Dave's can give up the traffic light, so give up the access with the traffic light, they don't need it without the traffic light. There's just, doesn't make any sense to any of us. I also want to point out that by opening up this access here, just go to the map, the traffic's going to be coming out and hitting my neighbors' houses. So lights come 4 o'clock, constantly hitting their living room, turning this way. If the people that are exiting this parking lot, and you look at how many spaces are here, if they decide to take a left. A lot of times we find people get aggravated, especially when 4th of July rolls around, anything down on Oakland Beach. They try to come down our street and find out that it's a dead end. And I know they can put dead end signs up, don't take a right, all that, but let's face it, nobody looks at signs anymore. They come all the way down, find out it's a dead end, and they get ticked off and they come all the way back. This happens more frequently than not. And I can't tell you the number of kids that we have on our street. And to think that this is something that they're going to have to deal with all the time now It just doesn't make any sense. So what we're asking the city council to do is to strike the wording on number two. Just remove the access completely. It's been closed for 20 years. It does not need to be reopened. I think that's it.
Thank you. Anything? Is there anybody else that would like to speak against this proposal?
Hello, Michelle Marandola. My only question is for the access that most of us are not in against Benny's coming there. That's not the, Dave's coming to Benny's. That's not the issue. The issue is opening up onto our street. So I wanted to ask Ms. Kelly that how many entrances are you planning for the parking lot there for those stores? From what I understand, there's at least four. If we get a light, Spring Grove would be number five. Is that correct?
You want to come up and answer? Okay. Could we get your last name for the record? Because we couldn't hear your last
Marandola?
Name. Marandola.
Marandola. You were talking about one of the access points into the parking lot is going to be kind of where the original one is right now, that they go in only. There's going to be a light. That's going to be the second one. The third one is going to stay at Taco Bell, which is already there. The fourth one is going to be by the old days right now, going through where the dollar store and the auto parts is. That's the fourth one. And if we don't get a light, you're going to be able to come in on Spring Grove Avenue. How many stores have five entrances to go into off of a parking lot? Not very many. Usually about two, but I don't think five. I think that's overdoing it. Again, it's not that Dave's is going to be there. That's not the issue. It's the entrances that the majority of the people on Spring Grove are against. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when the seasons on Route 5 and Main Avenue, there was an access onto Chapman's Avenue, and the people did not want that. And when season came there, that entrance is blocked up now, because I think that they felt they were doing the people a favor by they could just come out and go on Chapman's Avenue. If you go by there now, you cannot exit that season shell on Chapman's Avenue. You only can go on to Main Ave and Greenwich Avenue. There's two entrances. So I just don't understand why we have to have five entrances possibly. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak against this project?
My name is Lisa Messina. I'm the resident 61 Spring Grove Avenue, directly next to this access that they want to open. I really came up here to say that when we first talked about this, we had agreed to no vehicles at all. I am personally mother of three young children that live directly next to this entrance. I have a four-year-old son, a six-year-old daughter, and an 11-year-old son. My 11-year-old son wants to walk home from school on the bus. That is something right now that if this opens is not going to happen. There is no way I'm going to allow my son to walk home knowing that the chances of him being hit by a driver walking down the dead-end street that we purchased our home on for the safety of our children is going to be opened. There's no safety in this. There's no point to it. I have talked to other friends that are also willing to step up and sign the petition throughout the community of Warwick that don't even live on our street that agree that this is not a good idea. We have a lot of children, a lot of people that walk up and down the street with their babies that aren't even here tonight because they're home with their babies. I was fortunate enough to be able to get a babysitter this evening to come and speak on behalf of my children. The kids are never going to go away. They're always going to be there. They're not going away. This is their quality of life. This is their ability to be able to ride their bikes. This is their ability to walk home from school. You're taking that freedom and that quality of life away from them if you take this. If you open this and you tell them that it's okay to open this, my children will have no quality of life. I will not allow them out front and know that there's a risk of the three lives that I created that I love so much being hurt severely or even dead by the hit of a car. A four-year-old's not going to survive being hit by a car. We've seen what comes down these roads. As Maureen had said, people ignore the sign that says that we're a dead-end street, and they go down the street, and then they speed back up it because they realize, well, they're not getting anywhere. We're a dead-end. They don't watch the signs. If you open this access even to emergency vehicles, people are going to use it. There's more than enough entrances. I am a manager for one of the biggest franchises of Dunkin' Donuts in the state. I run a $30,000 a week business with one entrance in and out of my store. We do not have any traffic problems. It is constantly moving. This one's going to have three already without opening that access. It doesn't need to be there. And this is really about my kids. I'm here for them. That is why I'm here. They can't have this. On top of that, if you have people coming out where my house sits, their lights will go directly into my children's bedrooms. My children go to bed at 7:30 at night. They're young. They need their sleep. Those headlights are going to go right into their bedrooms where their windows sit on our house. It's not fair to them, and I just ask you to take that in consideration when you're looking at this, because they are the future of this community, and if you want them to be here, they need to have good lives too. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else?
Good evening.
Just state your name for the record.
Certainly. Marjorie LeBeau. I live at 135 Spring Grove Avenue and have been in there for 30 years. I missed the to speak for because I was waiting for you to say a public comment, so I'm here now. I agree with Councilman Sinapi that it is difficult to get in and out of Spring Grove Avenue. However, I am in favor of having the opening at Spring Grove Avenue. There are elder people on the streets, and I would appreciate not having to go out onto Spring Grove Avenue to go down 100 feet to take a left. If the light goes in, I'll be more than in favor of having a walkway there. I applaud the Copper Piano Group for the open space and giving that land out, and I would encourage this council also to keep it as open spaces rather than trying to develop it into walking paths and so forth back there, because there are a lot of wildlife that live in that area. However, in reference to the development, I am in full favor of it, and appreciate the amount of time that they're spending to buffer the zone for the people that are up against the area, and taking into consideration the lighting and so forth for those people. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Can you just state your name for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Helen Macarone, and I am also in favor of having an entrance on Spring Grove Avenue, foremost for convenience, because it's really difficult to go out onto West Shore Road if you're taking a left. If you're taking a right, it's easy. But taking a left, it's next to impossible at certain parts of the day. What I'm saying is we don't need two ways. All we need is an entrance. So there won't be any headlights hitting anyone's homes, or the children should be in their own yard anyway. But my kids grew up on Spring Grove Avenue when All Max and Star Market was there, and the gates were always open. So you learn, you have to teach your kids to stay out of the road. We had trailer trucks and all kinds of delivery trucks coming through at that particular time. I don't want the trucks now, but I would like an entrance from Spring Grove. But if we get the light, then I know I'm shot down, and I am in favor of a walkway.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else to speak? Just if you could state your name for the record.
Amy Miller, 27 Spring Grove Avenue. I've been living there since 1995.
If you could just keep your run. So you got to put your, these mics are designed, you got to almost put your mouth on top of them to hear. Sorry about that. Oh, it's dead then. Maybe when you dropped it, it shut off. There's no light. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That one's working.
Start over. Amy Miller, 27 Spring Grove Avenue.
Okay.
Can all hear me? I am here to speak against the access road. It is dangerous for the children. The road itself is traveled at excessive rates of speed, despite the signage. The signage does not prevent people from trying to make it a cut through. They learn it's a dead end road. They come back twice as fast in the other direction. Our neighbors who are at the face of the road will have a constant string of cars hitting their living room, their bedroom. This does not end. The ultimatum that if they don't get the light, we, the neighborhood, has to suffer is inappropriate. There should not be an ultimatum in a contract that says that if they don't get what they want, we suffer. They need to figure out a different way to configure the traffic. We don't. Running it through our neighborhood is inappropriate. Period. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else to speak? If you could just state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is John Reese. I'm a resident, 48 Spring Grove Avenue. I'm actually located directly across where the proposed access is going to be. And if you think of it logistically, there are four entrance points as it is. Regardless of whether there's a light, there's no need to have an access point going out to a dead-end street. And certainly there's no need, because that's been closed for years. I believe Benny's purchased the property maybe in 1995, if I'm not mistaken. And it's been shut ever since. And clearly Benny's was able to operate where they were. So there should be no issue as far as Dave's being able to operate by having people pull out to West Shore Road without coming in through Spring Grove Avenue. Now, living directly across, you got to understand, I mean, if you get people pulling out of there, those headlights are going to be shining right into my bedroom, living room, kitchen. I mean, it's like we're not going to have any privacy. And all this, I mean, I like Dave's. I like having local businesses around, but I really think that clause is very obnoxious to even just state that if they don't get a light, they want to put an access point over there. There's no rhyme or reason for it other than maybe an egotistical whatever for one of the owners at Dave's. And quite frankly, I mean, if that's the way they're going to be, I just won't shop at Dave's. I'll be honest with you, because Dave's never approached any of the neighbors. They never had a discussion with any of the neighbors about this access point. And so for them to just come in and say, well, we're going to put this access point in unless we get a light, and even that was a fight. And I'll be honest with you, I don't appreciate that type of business. And if they're going to be that way, I'll go to Stop and Shop. I'll go to Shaw's. I'll go to anybody. But I won't go to Dave's if they're going to do that. And so what I'm asking this committee to do is basically just consider the fact that there are residents on the street that don't want the access, period. It's a majority of the residents. I don't know how many pages. I mean, so over 80% of the neighborhood already signed petitions. So I don't even know why this thing is even on the board as far as proposals. It should be taken off the board, period. And you know, and I got to be honest with you, if an access point goes in, I would be talking to an attorney, and I would be going after everybody with deep pockets. I mean, I'm just telling you the way it is, because there's no need for this. And basically, that's basically what I'm saying. And so, if you can just consider that and have them just remove the access point, then I'm fine with everything else that they're doing. And I think everybody else here would be more than happy with that same scenario. So thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody else would like to speak? Yep. If you could just state your name for the record.
My name is Edward Finnegan. I've lived on Spring Grove Avenue for about a part of 50 years. And it's always been a dead-end street, except for a certain portion of time when Star Market was there and they were using it as delivery trucks. And you know, that came about, that Benny's took it over, and now what happens is, I live at the top of the street. If I'm trying to go out and make a left-hand turn onto West Shore,
you got to speak into the mic, sir.
If I'm trying to make a left-hand turn onto West Shore Road, it's almost impossible. I have two lanes of traffic that are approaching me from the left-hand side if I'm going to make a left-hand turn. And it is probably one of the worst intersections in Warwick. You have two lanes of traffic that are biting for one lane of traffic going west on West Shore Road. You know, there is just no one that's going to let me out of that street. We have a sign that is put up high on the pole, on the west side of West Shore Road, that says something to the effect of, please let traffic out. Do not block intersection. That's what it is. Do not block intersection. And that goes nowhere. It signs up there for a reason, because the intersection gets blocked all the time. Traffic cannot get out of West Shore Road. Now you're proposing to let traffic come from West Shore Road all the way through this parking area, this project area, onto West Shore Road and cut through Salk's parking lot, right, to avoid all of that congestion from a two-lane road to a one-lane road, which is, I mean, it's a traffic nightmare. And you're proposing to add much more traffic to the side street just to avoid those lights that are going to be on West Shore Road. Thank you. I'm not in favor of opening up that at all.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak against this project? Is there anybody else here to speak against this project? Is there anybody else here to speak against this project? If not, Councilwoman, if you could make a motion to close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The public hearing stands passed. Mr. DePasquale, could we just get you down here for with regard to the planning department's recommendations?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes. Honorable members of the Warwick City Council. Within your packet, you will see the planning board recommendation as a memorandum to this honorable body. In that memorandum, which you'll see is 5 pages, it outlines what this petition is tonight, which is a master plan seeking a zone change. And I know many of the concerns that we heard tonight were included in front of the planning board. And I call your attention to stipulation number 5, where it really addresses that idea that if the signal is incorporated, that the access goes away. I think the signal would be much improved western movements onto West Shore Road, which we all know is very difficult from the subject area. It would also provide some kind of spacing by and between the merge that occurs on West Shore Road East that was talked about tonight. I think the planning board was very strident in reviewing this, and I would suggest that we take a look at those 5 stipulations. If you would like, I could read the 5-page memo into the record. It's really up to you, Mr. President.
You said the 5-page or 5-paragraph?
5-page, I'm sorry.
Five pages.
Sorry.
So I guess what is, so there is a planning board recommendation. What was your recommendation to the planning board?
Again, the same thing with the planning board. When we looked at the subject site, the planning department originally asked for closure back when it was, turned to Benny's. We saw the issues that were in place. Since that time, obviously, Benny's has gone out of business. Unfortunately, it's become a very worn plaza. We always desired to have interior circulation. We always knew the main arterial roadway was difficult prior to any kind of development. The existing developer has the means to mitigate some of this. It is an important investment in the city. Dave's is a company which I think many of our folks in the city of Warwick enjoy frequenting. The existing condition they have there is less than optimal, with a police officer stationed at the bottom of a roadway that has a blind hill to it. So I think the investment here is something to be noted. The fine folks that live, and I heard strongly tonight about the non-access, was an issue that was raised early on in the process. We do understand the petitioner has reasons to go forward in the petition that was presented, but to their credit, they did work on a stipulation that would remove this access if a signal was improved, and that's something the planning department supports, and so does the planning board. I think there's a high probability that RIDOT, unfortunately not on our schedule, will approve some kind of signalization there. And if it's done appropriately, it will not only help some of the conditions for the existing land use, but also some of the merging issues that occur late in the day where the two lanes actually merge to one eastbound. It'll also prevent that spacing, if you will, for anything westbound. And I believe all that is within this five-page memorandum seeking to go forward. And I think I want to mention something else. This is a learned process, right? It is set out by the Rhode Island General Law. It starts with a master plan. That's where we are. The master plan is kind of just an illustration of what they want to do. This honorable body considers these hard things, as we do as a planning board. It's a hard decision, right? But it's a very important decision. Whatever this body decides, it's not over. The planning board gets a preliminary review and then a final review. And it's a public hearing at all the stages. So I think this is something we should embrace in terms of the interaction with the public, listening to the public. I also heard a few people that, hey, listen, I live there. I'd like to not go on West Shore Road in order to go there. So I think this well-scripted memorandum and the original decision of the master plan is before you. And if you have any questions on these documents, I'd be happy to review the individual documents.
So have you, has a traffic study been submitted to DOT?
I'm going to let the petitioner speak to that. They actually have people on board. They hire, as part of this, the process, a planning traffic study has to be done. I would suggest the petitioner should address this. They brought their folks in. They're petitioning this, not the planning department, and I believe that it's more appropriate that they answer that.
Do you have a traffic engineer here?